Would you join me in your Bibles to the book of Malachi? We're going through the book of Malachi, and like all of the books of the Bible, we find out, what would we be without grace? Where would we be without grace? And in this chapter, we have seen a number of passages that have shared with us the difference between saved and lost, elect and non-elect, Jacob's and Esau's. And in this last verse of this chapter, we have a tremendously serious statement made here by the prophet Malachi, as he was a secretary of the Holy Spirit to write these things unto God's people there at that time. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Then ye shall return. Now, there's a lot of discussion about what that ye is, but I can only see that that true ye is the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, Lord of hosts, as he's mentioned so often in this passage of Scripture. And it is he alone that can discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. We know by the word righteous that those are God's people. Those are the ones that have been made righteous by the blood of Christ. They are in right standing. They have the righteousness of Christ. And the wicked are those who do not. And we have that comparison going through the end of this chapter, in the last phrase of this verse, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Way over in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, we have a complementary verse of Scripture that shares with us what we find in this verse of Scripture. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, would you turn there with me? Join me in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and there in verse 13. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, in God's sight, but all things are naked and opened unto thee of him, of the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Certainly, we notice in this passage of Scripture a statement about the power of Almighty God to know all things about all people. And he knows those that are his, and he knows those who are not his. And we are, as it's declared in this passage of Scripture, naked. We have nothing to sustain us before Almighty God. We are undone. We are unclean. We're naked before him. And he is the only one that knows us for what we really are. He knows us as his children, or he knows us not as his children. He knows us as his sheep, or he knows us as the goats. He knows us as Jacob's. He knows us as Esau's. He knows us as those who would follow after Noah, or he knows the rest. He knows the Cains or the Abels. This is just the comparison that we find through the Scriptures. Over in the book of Matthew, we have a passage of Scripture that goes along with our thoughts for tonight, as brought out there in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 18, that is, then shall ye return, God return and discern. He's the only one that can discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 24, we have one of the parables that the Lord taught his disciples. Now, he tells us why he taught in disciples. There are some Esau's. They don't need to know what he has to say. There are some Jacob's that he's going to reveal the things of the Spirit to them. Those that have appear to have ears but can't hear and eyes that can't see. And then there are those who realize they are unable to see unless the Spirit should reveal the things of God to them. In this parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? So we know that as the Lord teaches his disciples in this passage of Scripture, the seed is always good. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It comes from God. He doesn't mix error with it. In fact, men mix error with the gospel. That's our greatest problem that we face today with ourselves and with others, is dealing with those who have mixed other things with the gospel. And here the seed has been sown, and it's been great seed. But we also find out in that field that there are what the Lord calls in this passage of Scripture tares. So he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Now, the one that has done this is truly an enemy of Christ, an enemy of God, an enemy of the church, and an enemy of the gospel. We can blame many people or many things, and so often the devil gets blamed for this, but an enemy is someone that is not someone that holds the truth of the gospel in their heart. And they do this. And we find in several places there were those right in the midst of the children of God that were doing this. They're enemies of the cross. They're enemies of the gospel. And they have sown these wicked seeds. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Now, that tells us that there are a few there that thought that they knew the difference between the wheat and the tares, and they were going to go dig them up, but the Lord says, no, just leave them alone. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Now the gospel is going to separate. The gospel is going to separate the wheat from the tares. The gospel will always do that. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but to gather the wheat into my barn. The tares are taken out as the sheep and the goats are separated, and we realize, as we'll read later, how they are taken, and they will be turned into everlasting damnation, and the wheat will be taken into the kingdom of God, prepared for his people, for his sheep, from the foundation of the world. It is often we find that there's a day coming when all the religious baloney will be removed, and each will stand without any human intervention before God. And only those that will be able to stand are mentioned there in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 18, the righteous. They're not depending upon their righteousness, upon their works, upon their good deeds, upon what they've done or how they've done it. And as it's brought out here, gather his wheat into the garner. That's what he's going to do. He's put his wheat into his barn. The chaff will be burnt with unquenchable fire. We remember reading about the wedding feast, over in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and every time I read passages like this, I'm just so thankful for grace. The grace of God. The grace of God in salvation. The grace of God in redemption. The grace of God in bringing us to the gospel. The grace of God in allowing us to believe the gospel. It's the grace of God. The unmerited favor of God. We've raised our hand against him in our own religion, and then God is gracious to cause us to put our hands down and worship the true and the living God. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly, excuse me, I'm in the book of Acts, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now the interesting thing about these wedding garments in the Eastern weddings, in the Eastern marriage rituals and so forth was that those wedding garments were provided. It wasn't like our weddings today where you're invited to participate in a wedding, but you're expected to bring rent your own tuxedo or your own dress or make your own dress or make anything. These were provided by the man in charge of the wedding. And he comes to that. And he addresses him, he says unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. When the God of the Bible deals with people and they are not obeying him, they are actually speechless before him. He's taken away their very excuse. They are all without excuse. So this man that came in without a wedding garment, easily identified by the Lord, we'll spend our life making mistakes, but he knows exactly who has a wedding garment on, has the righteousness of Christ, and who does not. And he said then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." No truer words are written in the Scriptures. Many are called. And this man, he was invited to come in, but he wouldn't submit to the righteousness of Christ and attempted to go in his own righteousness. And the Lord so quickly can identify that. The rest of them were unable to do that. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, would you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as we think about the Lord returning and discerning between the righteous and the wicked. This is a reality. This is something he is going to do. And no one will be able to deceive this one that comes. No one will be able to mock him or make fun of him or bargain with him. We've done the best we can and you ought to accept us. Well, we may think that and we may say that at times, but it's not going to change the Lord. Here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and there in verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." The Lord has all of this ability in himself. He knows exactly who are his and who are not are his, who are not his. He knows where his people will be appointed a day when they will meet him, when the gospel will be brought to them. He has appointed a day for that. We read not too long ago in our study about Daniel. He said there will be a resurrection, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is a truth that's found throughout the Scriptures, and the difference between it is not how good we've been, but the grace of God. The difference between it is not our works or our righteousness, but the grace of God. It is the grace of God that makes the change. It's the division point. It is the grace of God. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I'll have grace to whom I'll have grace. And that is all the difference in the world. If you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew again, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, and there in verse 46. Matthew chapter 25, and there in verse 46. The Scriptures share this: "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The Lord speaking about this serious subject, that those that his grace has been evidenced to, those who he has known from eternity, those, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those are the ones that he says will be the righteous, and they shall have eternal life. And all the rest will go away into everlasting punishment. It is not the work of men that makes the difference. It is the work of God. It is the grace of God. Now, I've met people, and you probably have too, that say they can tell a saved person from a lost person. Well, no, you can't. You just can't do that. We make surmisings, and it's usually based on what's done and not who is the Savior. We're making a judgment. My goodness, if we lived in the days of Moses, we'd say he's not a saved man. If we lived in the days of David, he's not a saved man. If we lived in the days of Rahab, not a saved woman. If we lived in those days, and all around us, We see people that are doing things that are contrary to good, being a good neighbor, and we make a judgment call. And you know what? God said that He is the one that will make the judgment call. He's the one that provides the righteousness. I find this, that the difference between such who are really and truly righteous and such who believe in Christ and are not justified by their own righteousness, but are justified by His righteousness, it brings and it appears from the Scriptures that the righteous find it difficult or nearly impossible to boast in themselves. They hardly can raise their heads towards heaven. They know not how to pray as they ought. They rightly say, I am undone, I am wretched, woe is me in comparison to the Savior. They do not keep track of their service of God. In fact, when it is mentioned, they say, when did we do that? Do you remember that statement right here in the book of Matthew, chapter 25? It's brought up earlier in this chapter, verse 31. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in glory and shall all the holy angels with Him, they shall sit upon the throne and of His glory, and He shall gather all nations and shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The only reason that they are going to enjoy the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation is grace. God's precious, rich grace. For He says, I was hungered, and you gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. And I was a prison, and you came unto me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been brought to that attention? And we say, when in the world did we do that? Just like we read here, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When did we see that? They realize beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only reason they're in the line of the sheep is the grace of God. It is not based upon merit. It is not based upon works. It is not based upon anything. In fact, a true believer, one that has the righteousness of Christ, one that is righteous in the eyes of God, has a feeling about themselves, O wretched man that I am. And when we hear the Lord Jesus say those things to us, as we read here in this chapter of Matthew, chapter 25, we find, what is God talking about? When did I do that? Now, on the contrary side of that, we find that when He starts to speak to the goats, they immediately jump up and say, we've done many mighty works in Thy name. And that's the way the unrighteous are. That's the way the wicked are. They're not going by grace. They're going by works. They're not going by the grace of God. They're going by legalism. They're going by the law. They've kept the law. No, the strange thing about obedience to the law is there's nothing in it that the Spirit does. There's no regeneration in that. And the elect, the sheep, they depend upon the mercy of God to give them the new birth. And this makes all the difference in the world. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that is the absolute truth of God. And it is evidenced throughout the Scriptures that He does something for us that we cannot do ourselves. And we don't know exactly all that happened, but we do know this, that God is gracious. And that His mercy endureth forever. And that He is the one that makes the difference. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. The sheep have their place, the goats have their place, and as we look here, we find that there are going to be those that are going to be turned into everlasting, eternal punishment. They will be called the second death. There will be no remedy for that. They will always be in that condition. In that chapter of Malachi that we looked at there, chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, discern between the righteous and the wicked. God is doing that, and he does that. Now, there is a difference between everyone that has been had their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life from eternity. They have a difference about them. They act, as we find in the book of Galatians, you cannot tell the difference between a servant and a son until the time comes. And then there is certainly a big difference between the son, the children of God, in God's eyes than everyone else. We don't know that. We think we're just, when God saves us, we're the vilest of all. And yet God has revealed to his people that I have chosen you from eternity. The sheep and the goats share with us much about this very thing, that it is God that makes the difference. It is he that has brought us out of darkness, and he has given us light. We have from the very beginning a strong statement made by God that there is a difference between the righteous and the wicked, between servants of God and him that are not. We go through the scriptures and we find that there's always this righteous and wicked, Cain and Abel. Cain brought his best, and no doubt he did bring the best fruit that he possibly could, but it was unacceptable to God. But by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. We go down to Noah. Well, let's just back up just a little bit, and we read about Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The elder shall serve the younger. That was what God said about the matter. And Noah and the rest, we read about them, and there's no difference between Noah and all the other relatives that he had at the time, except God made the difference. God gave him grace. Many people think that Noah did something very special, that God would find grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's grace was given to Noah, and that's the only thing that drew Noah to God. We read about Eleazar and Ithamar, and Nadab and Abihu, born in the same family, four brothers, all ordained to a tabernacle ministry there in the Old Testament, and out of the blue, because their heart was not in it, Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. They did not believe the gospel. It was not in their ability to believe it. And so anything would do, they were right in what they had to say. In the New Testament, we read about Ananias and Sapphira. Now, I was just reading in a book I have, Christians in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira. Well, I hate to make a judgment call, but they lied to the Holy Spirit. And we know the thing there, they had some property and they decided to sell it and get some praise like everybody else was getting praise. And they said, we'll just tell them that we sold it for this much, but we're going to keep back part. And Peter brings that up. While it was yours, it was yours. And once you sold it, it was still yours. But then you lied to the Holy Spirit and came and tried to get some benefit out of this, tried to get a position out of this, tried to get someone to pat your back out of this. And they ended up dead at the feet of the disciples. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there's an interesting verse of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. At the closing of this chapter, just like the close of all verses of scripture that we find in this Bible about us, the only difference is the grace of God. The grace of God makes the only difference. It's not by our wisdom, and it's not by our intelligence, and it's not by our birth, it's not by our will. It is by the birth that God gives us in Christ Jesus, in the preaching of the gospel. How it is a miraculous way that God saves his people through the gospel. And here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves. Isn't that an interesting thing? Measuring themselves by themselves. I'm going to use myself as the measuring instrument. Well, there's only one measure. And we find out that every man, woman, boy, and girl has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we start measuring ourselves. I'm better. I'm at least as good. And I haven't done near the things that other people have done. And then it goes on to say, in comparing themselves among themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, what does it tell us there? Are not wise. This is not the way to do it. Our measure is Christ. Our glory is Christ. The only reason that we can address Him with such tender terms as our Father, which is in heaven, is the grace of God. God's grace and God's mercy, the gospel is brought to us by the gentleness of God and turns our world upside down. And we are brought to an acquaintance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is then that we really know what God saved. He saved a sinner, but He saved us by His grace. And so the time is coming. Book of Revelation shares with this. We find other places in the Bible that shares with this, that God will, in the end, He will divide the sheep and the goats. He will divide them because He made a choice of the sheep before the foundation of the world. They were just the same lump as the goats, but He made all the difference. And He will divide them, separate them out. They'll be in one line because they're told to be there. They'll be the sheep. They will be brought to the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that great day, He will make a judgment. And there will be those who say, on the goats, we've done many mighty works in Thy name. And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. So the grace of God, once again, all these scriptures bring us back to the very grace of God. It is He that has made a difference. It is He that has made a difference in our lives. He has brought us and acquainted us with the person Christ Jesus. We have no room for boasting. We have no room for writing down and keeping track of all the works that we do, because we don't do any good works. If you've done anything good, it's because of Christ. And we know that we've done many evil things, and that's because of ourself. So as that chapter concludes there, Malachi chapter 3, and there in verse 18, the scriptures tell us there that ye, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, the state that we're in, the righteous and the wicked. And then it tells us those who serve God and those who serve Him not. It's the character of that group. He's made the difference in our state. He's made the difference in our character. And there's nothing that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. May God bless you. And next time we plan on starting chapter 4. Amen.